You're listening to the City World Radio Network. High-definition digital radio broadcasting from the city to the world. www.cityworldradio.com.
Welcome, this is Bill Russo, and you are listening to The Bill Russo Show. I am so grateful that you tuned in, whether you're listening live or you're listening to a rebroadcast. This is Bill Russo, and we are broadcasting from our studios in Manhattan at 352 7th Avenue in the heart of the Fashion District, steps away from Penn Station, and here on the west side of Manhattan in the heart of New York City, in the heart of New York State, in the heart of the country and the world. The world comes together here in New York City. I'm very happy to have two wonderful guests to join me tonight who'll be talking to you about their inspirations and their work that they have produced to make positive contributions to our culture, to our society, and to be of service to you and to each other. So tonight we have Sabrina Panfilo, who is an author, educator, former journalist, and a very talented young lady with an incredible number of books that she's already done and a great background. And making a return appearance on the Bill Russo Show, a gentleman who's been out in the community educating, teaching, sharing his creative talents and ability, both as an educator, in multiple ways, as an educator, as a playwright, as an author, and as a motivational speaker. He does incredible public speaking to motivate people of all ages. So tonight we have Sabrina Panfilo and David Mercaldo, Dr. David Mercaldo, PhD doctor. I had a headache. I was going to ask him for a cure, but he's a doctor. He could probably tell me what book to read, but it's just so great to have him back on the show, on the Bill Russo Show. And without further ado, I want to tell you a little bit about our first guest, Sabrina Panfilo. Sabrina is a graduate of NYU, and she has an expertise in journalism, education, and in her books, she focuses on what the theme of the book can be and the storyline of the book to help children to grow and to cope and to thrive and to think and be positive in our society. She has two books which she's written, Tomy and the Caterpillar and Cosmos Crave, and she has a new project, The Belly Bug Bully, and she's going to talk about all of those books. So, ladies and gentlemen, our first guest, Sabrina Panfilo. Welcome to the Bill Russo Show.
Thank you, Bill.
Now, how did you get started as an author with all of your different background? And I think I didn't mention that you were a journalist at one time. So you have a lot of life experiences that inform you in your work. Now, how did you transition to be an author? When was your first inspiration to become an author?
Well, as an educator for 15 years, over the span of grades pre-K through 12, I've observed innumerable interactions among kids and their peers and those between kids and their families. I have witnessed firsthand the most common forms of bullying: verbal, physical, social, and cyberbullying. And so with the release of Tomy and the Caterpillar in 2012, the inspiration was the experiences that I have witnessed in the classroom as an educator. And a good portion of my teaching career afforded me the opportunity to be the go-to person for those in need in and outside the classroom, whether it be for a pep talk, a shoulder to cry on, or a simple smile. My door was always open, and as a mom, I became more aware of the dynamic and exchange of teaching and learning, and thus I write about it My arms are always open, my ears ready to listen, and my heart ready to love unconditionally. My son is truly my inspiration.
Oh, that's wonderful. How old is your son?
6 years old.
6 years old. So he is at a tender age.
And,
yes. You know, becoming cognizant of what it's like to interact with other children, his peers, girls and boys. And from my experience, although I did until about the third grade go to Catholic school in Coney Island, Our Lady of Solace, and the only bullies around were the nuns. But we never regarded them as bullies. We just regarded them as teachers, as educators. Oh, we didn't even use those words. They were just there. They just kept discipline in the classroom. And nobody could be a bully. They ruled. They controlled the classroom. And it was a different time, different, I wouldn't say different values. The values, people have the same values. They want order in the classroom. But in the Catholic Church, and God bless the Catholic Church, because the nuns, they take a hit, whether it's in the media or otherwise. But I don't recall the nuns in the school that I went to up until after the third grade really being physical or violent. They just had a sense of authority about them. And when they spoke, like, you know, the commercial, we listened. We carried out what they told us to do. But it's a different world in many ways. And you have had the personal experience of teaching. You taught for how many years?
15.
15 years. Now, in addition to what we experience in school, tell us about your family and how your family informs you and prepared you for teaching and for writing.
Well, I think family values are extremely important. I think a lot of my books encompass family values because I find them to be the foundation of strength upon which we call home. For me, home is a sanctuary, if you will, where I can retreat in the comfort of love and support, where triumphs and tribulations are shared among the laughter and the tears. A very dear friend of mine introduced me to the teachings of Napoleon Hill, a great motivational speaker, who said, "Strength and growth come only through continuous effort and struggle." And I found it to be true. My parents are Italian immigrants, and I am first-generation American, and they taught me the meaning of hard work, sacrifice, love, and support. And without these, in addition to pride, honor, compassion, and humility, I would not have been able to rise above failure or be mindful of my successes, big or small. So for me, family values are incredibly important, and I do stress them through the characters in my children's books.
Wow, that's an incredible background. We're speaking with Sabrina Panfilo, and her website, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is www.sabrinapanfilo.com. That's SABRINAPANFILO, Sabrina Panfilo, one word, .com. And you're listening to The Bill Russo Show, and I'm Bill Russo. And this is cityworldradio.com. You can listen to this show at cityworldradio.com when we're broadcasting live, or you can listen to a rebroadcast by going to the website and clicking on the file folder and finding the date and the names of the guests, and you can listen to the show. Or we've just added a new feature, and that is if you would like to have the show emailed to you, we can have the audio file sent to you, and you can just send me an email, Bill Russo, at viabravo@msn.com. That's viabravo, V-I-A-B-R-A-V-O, @msn.com. And I will gladly send you the audio file of the show, and you can do what you will with the audio file. We'd like you to publicize the cityworldradio.com website and each of the shows that we do, and I certainly would be grateful that you promote the show so we can stay on radio and bring you such great content. You won't find many of our guests, and hopefully they will one day be on programs like Good Morning America and other programs like that, and specials and so on and so forth on mainstream media, you know, usually you'll find already established celebrities or someone who's promoting their 15th movie. What we have here are the people who are in our community, who are making a difference day to day by their creative talents and abilities and affecting people one by one, on and on, like the ripples of a stone thrown in a pond. They just reverberate all around. And it's just a pleasure to have both of our guests on, Sabrina Panfilo and Dr. David McCaldo, who we will be speaking with later on, and he has an incredible background too as well. So in your book, Sabrina, Tomi and the Caterpillar, Tomi is a red pony who befriends a caterpillar. And what happens next?
Well, Tomi is very unique in and of itself, obviously, because he's red. And he comes across this lonely gray caterpillar who was crying because his family said that he would never be a beautiful butterfly. And so they disowned him. And Tomi says to the caterpillar, you know, what's the matter? What's wrong? Why all the tears? Look at me. I'm red, you know. In other words, I've faced adversity myself, you know, because I'm different, but I don't care because I am me and I'm okay and I'm good with that, you know.
So the book talks about how to act or react in a teaching way when you're told you're different or you're told you don't fit in.
Right. And my focus in Tomi and the Caterpillar is to have students and children realize the importance of accepting their individuality. It's okay to be different. You know, it's a difficult situation when the people that you love and care for don't accept you, or the people, especially with children, whether they're 6 or 16, it doesn't matter. Sometimes even 66, you know. We're all looking for acceptance. We're all looking for someone to say, hey, you know, I do like you.
And in some ways, we're all still growing up.
Yes, absolutely.
And that is why I really enjoyed your books. I had the pleasure of meeting you when you were promoting your book on Staten Island, where you are from, Staten Island. And I had the pleasure of meeting you and getting a couple of your books. And Tomi and the Caterpillar is just fantastic. And I want to read from the book because I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to read first in the Tomi character and then the Caterpillar character. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pay attention. What's wrong, little critter? Why all the tears? I'm Tomi, yes, a red pony, but wise beyond my years. It doesn't matter who I am. I have no color, just many fears. My family is right. I will never fly. I will never look nice up in the sky. That's the caterpillar. All I can do is cry and cry. I will never be a bright and beautiful butterfly. Tomi smiled and said, my friend, raise up your head. Look at me. I'm a red pony. Red, don't you see? There is nothing else I would rather be. There will come a day when you too will be proud, ready to shout your name out loud. Do not listen to the mocks and jeers. Life will bring you many cheers. As long as you believe in who you are and love yourself from near and far. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
And that's just an excerpt, ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, of the book Tomi and the Caterpillar. Now, I mentioned Staten Island, and later on we'll be speaking to another Staten Islander, David McCaldo. Dr. David McCaldo, it's a pleasure to have him on the show. And you're working on a new book, Sabrina. Tell us about your new book.
The Belly Bug Bully is actually soon to be released. It should be released by the end of the month. It's about a stomach bug that imposes a virus on a child. And it basically teaches children to always do the right thing no matter what, because in the end they will always win. And what by that I mean, you have a stomach bug, and my son actually was the inspiration behind the story as well, because I told him, make sure you always wash your hands in the classroom, of course, as a teacher. You know, you have to wash your hands with the germs, the stomach bug that
was
going around.
How important is that now?
And so I said to him, if you wash your hands repeatedly and you sing the alphabet and sing happy birthday, you won't get sick. You won't throw up. Well, lo and behold, he did. And he said to me, Mommy, you lied to me. And I said, no, I didn't lie. I didn't lie. And I had to convince him, even when you do the right thing, sometimes you're faced with an adverse situation. And so he gets very emotional and got very upset. And he said, I wish I could be a superhero. I wish I could be something else so that I wouldn't have to be sick. And I said, you just keep being who you are and always do the right thing. And eventually you're going to get better and you're going to win. And that's what happens in the story.
Well, that's fantastic. The book is The Belly Bug Bully by Sabrina Panfilo. And the website, ladies and gentlemen, again, is www.sabrinapanfilo.com. And the email address, if any of you want to get in touch with Sabrina Panfilo, is spanfilo, spanfilo at verizon.net. You have any appearances coming up to promote your books?
I will I will be at PS39 November 24th, 25th, and 26th for a book reading regarding Tomie and the Caterpillar, and to do an anti-bullying workshop. And
PS39 is on Staten Island.
Yes.
Yeah, we have to say that for our listeners on the Aleutian Islands. You know, they have like two computers there, and you know, right now both of them are being used to listen to the Bill Russo show.
And I will also be at the Staten Island Mall again at the arts show in February for President's Weekend.
Wow, that's great. I want to say hello to our listeners in Canada as well as Mexico. We have our second most listenership is in Italy. I want to say buonasera a tutti in Italia. We have, coincidentally, two Americans of Italian heritage guests tonight, Sabrina Panfilo and Dr. David Macaldo, both of whom are from Staten Island. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, in tribute to Sabrina Panfilo and her books and her theme and the wonderful work that she's doing in the community, I want to play our first song because, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, the theme of the Bill Russo Show is time for conversation, music, and good causes. So this is our time, ladies and gentlemen, not mine, not yours, not the guests, but our time together for conversation, music, and good causes. The first song is by Christine Aguilera, who was born on Staten Island, raised in Pennsylvania. And the song is beautiful.
Thank you.
That's such a great song. I remember when first hearing that song that it was really a striking song, and it has a lot to do with the type of work that Sabrina Pamphilo is doing in authoring the books that she has produced so far and what she will bring to you, our listeners in the public. Sabrina Pamphilo is a supporter of breast cancer research. She's done community service by conducting anti-bullying workshops and book readings in schools, in the public libraries, in Staten Island Children's Museum. And she's just beginning. Christina Aguilera was born in Staten Island, and Sabrina Pamphilo will have a tremendous impact in society. She already has, and it's important that our listeners know that. And one day, hopefully she'll remember us when she goes on Good Morning America to promote her books, because she is really going places. And I'm just so grateful that she's here on the program. And Sabrina has a few words that she wants to share with us.
Well, one of my favorite authors and poets was Maya Angelou. And she once said, "Try to be a rainbow in someone's cloud. And if I can do that, then I will truly be happy." As a positive role model for today's youth, it is my hope to be the light in a child's dark room.
Well, thank you very much, Sabrina Pamphilo, for being on the Bill Russo Show. And thank you again, our listeners. Stay with us, because now I want to introduce to all of you our next guest, Dr. David Mercaldo. He is known on Staten Island, New York City, the metropolitan area, and beyond as America's storyteller. He is the author of such acclaimed works as Ferry, as in Staten Island Ferry, but it could be any ferry, Seamstress, and that is very dear to me. My mother was a seamstress, and I come from a long line of seamstresses and laborers, so that is a wonderful, wonderful book. And he also did a children's book based on a dog, and the book is Little Boy Blue. But he has a very, very interesting book that he's going to speak about in a little while called The Other Italians. And he's also, beyond being an author of books, he has produced a Broadway musical. When I say produced, he's the playwright of it. He staged it. It's called Apartment to Let, an endearing struggle between a father and a son called Fathra.
Fathra.
And also another production, theater production, called Breakfast on First Avenue. And he has a unique approach to theater. He's a prolific writer on such topics as education, politics, finance, and drama. I can go on and on. He travels nationwide. He's a motivational speaker. And he has done tremendous work in the community in motivating people and staying positive and giving examples of how to live a good life and the interactions of others in the past and how they affect us now in the present for us to go forward. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, David Mercaldo. Welcome, David, to the Bill Russo Show.
I can't wait to hear what I have to say. I mean, I'm waiting for somebody to walk in that fits all the qualifications, because I certainly don't. But I will tell you this. I love life. I've been very fortunate. I've awakened in the morning, looked at a television show, and said, I can do that. And 6 months later, I was blessed with a television show. Because of an idea I had. I drove down the West Side Highway with my wife in 1998, coming out of a Broadway show, and I said, Linda, the play I'm writing, it's going to open on Broadway, you'll see. And 9 months later, it opened. I have been a blessed boy. And I'll footnote it by saying a blessed Italian boy. I come from a wonderful, wonderful family.
That's amazing. And it just goes to show that you can accomplish what you set your mind and heart and soul to do.
I agree. Let me say this, though. My dad said something to me, and I'm going to encourage every father and mother, aunt and uncle. My dad said to me this, David, you can do anything. And I believed him. because I saw in him first a godly man, a goodly man, an intelligent man, and a man who took a strap off when he needed to. And by the way, there are no marks, but there are joyous memories of the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of hours when he didn't have to discipline me. But the reason why I had those hundreds and thousands of hours of joy is because he did. We talked a minute ago about bullying, and I think this wonderful guest and I could get into it positively together and wipe it out, because we want it wiped out. Mom, are you listening? Dad, are you listening? Aunt, are you listening? Uncle, Grandma, Grandma, are you listening? You're the teacher, not the teacher. You are. I wrote an article recently, and it's titled, Not in This Home, Not in This House. I think we got to get back to that point where we look at our children for all things, attendance at church, eating the right meals, watching the right shows, not in this house. If you want a positive image of Italians in your house, the stuff that glorifies the underworld doesn't belong on your television set. You just simply say, not in this house. Well, Isaac Mercaldo, my dad, had Mom and Mama Rosa. They had seven boys. I am the youngest.
Because wow. What was that like, being the youngest of seven boys?
Well, I was the youngest.
Were you bullied?
There were five that living. Two boys passed away in their early childhood.
Wow.
But there's Stephen, Daniel, Andrew, James, and David. And Bill, I got a footnote. All of us are published authors. All five. Because Mom was the grammarian. Dad was the scholar. He put a hunger in us to learn. Because he was always learning. He was always reading. You want your children to read? Let them see you read. Turn the TV off. Make a time for reading. I mean, I don't want to talk about parenting tonight.
Well, you know,
there's no success without it.
That is a theme, even in Sabrina Pamphilo's book, Ptolemy and the Caterpillar. That is learning by example and leading by example.
I'm watching outside my wife, Linda. My inspiration is outside with Sabrina's dad. You want to see class? You got to meet her dad, boy. He is class. And I see in him the respect she has for him. There were times when he stroked her, and times when he had to come down hard on her. She turned out to be a marvelous citizen, wonderful gal.
I think you're talking about Linda and Sabrina.
Linda's quite a gal. We'll talk about that as we get down the road. But I want the audience to know that Sabrina is exceptional. And let me say something to you. You want to support being Italian? You like being Italian? You want a positive image? Buy her books. Buy her books. Go online. Buy her books. Buy 10. You need Christmas gifts, right? You buy her books. Why? First of all, you're buying something that's needed. It's about bullying. Second, you're sponsoring and helping a young Italian authoress. No problem. I see no problem with that one.
That's wonderful. And you know, the experience of immigrants, whether they're Italian or from the Dominican Republic or from Cuba or from Puerto Rico or from China or from Mexico, is really the threads are the same. The threads are the same. There's a process. And there are many, many immigrants right now in New York City, in cities and countrysides throughout the United States, who are going through the same process that our own parents or grandparents
are going through. We're back at 1901.
Correct.
We're right there. We're starting all over again.
That's right. And Dr. David Mercaldo has a book called Seamstress, which touches on those themes of women who had to work at very difficult tasks under difficult circumstances and at the same time support and raise a family and be a good role model and an example for their children. And I think that is, to your credit, to have such a, and the book is called Seamstress by David Mercaldo, and his website is davidmercaldo.com. And buy his books too, because they're very worthy of you, worthy of all of us, and they contribute to making our society a much better society altogether. And we're going to take a musical interlude now, and this will be a tribute to mothers. And I want to mention my own mother, who passed away in January of 2012. Her name was Anna, and she was born Anna Izzo, I-Z-Z-O, in Italy. She married my father, who was born in Jersey City in the United States, who was a World War II combat veteran in the Philippines, who after the war went to Italy and met my mother in his ancestral hometown. married her and brought her to America. And that experience, immigration, coming to America, starting a life, raising a family, continues on and on. And Mama, the mother of the family, is a central figure in all of our lives. And sometimes a father is too, when by misfortune a mother leaves the household for whatever reason. And this song is by the quintet known as Bellaria. Bellaria was a quintet that was formed back in late 2009, early 2010. They had a PBS special, by the way. Two of its members are Jessica Carvo and Christopher Macchio, who were former guests on The Bill Russo Show, and they have a wonderful rendition, Italian and English, of Mama. So Bert Lee, a wonderful engineer, we're graced by his presence. He's a great guy, and let's play Mama by Bellaria. That was wonderful, wasn't it, ladies and gentlemen? That were really, boys and girls, that was wonderful. And now I want to reintroduce Dr. David McCaldo, author, playwright, former television host of his own show, a traveling man. He's been all over the United States on public speaking engagements and travel in general. Just a pleasure to have here Dr. David McCaldo. Welcome.
I'm back. In fact, I didn't leave. I've been here talking with the other guests, and she's wonderful.
Well, thank you. And it's davidmercaldo.com, ladies and gentlemen, davidmercaldo.com.
I need to interject something here because I do a lot of schools, and I have a writing program that I've been introducing. And wherever I go with my books, especially the older kids, this is my motto. If you look good in this world, you go far. If you speak well, you go further. But if you can write well, you'll never see your competition. I want to inspire kids listening and parents. I've tutored for years. When I tutor reading, I never tutor reading. I tutor writing, and the reading follows. Because I don't believe I've ever taught a child to read. I think it's an impossibility. It's a miracle by all things. Because the mind works in a certain way. And then the printed page becomes meaningful. And the words have meaning. I mean, language is basically three things. It's phonology, morphological words, meaning, and syntax. And that's an unbelievable thing that a child can grasp that. So what I do is I teach writing. So it has become my hobby. Like people like to play golf and like to sail and do other things like that. It's writing for me. I get such a joy and thrill out of it.
Well, that's amazing. And speaking of joy and thrills, the Bill Russo Show theme is time for conversation, music, and good causes. And I want to mention, and you can tell me specifically, David, that David Mercaldo contributes to charity for every book that he writes. Sabrina Pamphilo has some wonderful charities that she is involved in and community service that she does too and focuses on them too. David devotes each book to a different charitable cause. Part of the proceeds go to these causes. David, tell us about that in the series of books that
you do. Yeah, I was teaching kindergarten at the time when Ferry was written in 2002. I think I might have mentioned this last time, but I ran for state assembly. I lost by 153 votes. But I had a boat.
Well, I'm glad you did because maybe you wouldn't be here. You might be under indictment or something.
I wrote the book in 2002, and it's kind of laid on the shelf. So I would call people in various charitable organizations, and I would say, hey, listen, I'm David Mercaldo. I'm a kindergarten teacher, and I wrote a book, and I'd like to give you some of the proceeds from the book. And nobody would call me back. Finally, I saw a gal by the name of Gladys Schweiger, who was with the Alzheimer's Foundation.
I remember Gladys.
Yeah, great gal.
She was the late president of the Staten Island Foundation, Alzheimer's Foundation, and now the current president is Joan Gibblehaus.
It is. So I called in desperation. I think I saw her at a banquet or something. I said, Gladys, would you like some money from my books? She said yes. And then I got to thinking, Bill, what if it hit big? I am not a million seller, but I certainly have put thousands of dollars in their coffers because she believed in me. Then the second book came out, Seamstress, and we gave the money to the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation. And we've been faithful. I guess that came out in 2005. And then Familia goes to Cooley's Anemia. And then I had been to about 70 different Rotary clubs throughout the region, and their big thing is Gift of Life, where they bring children over from other countries for heart surgery. May I footnote something? You notice where they come when they need heart surgery.
They come to the United States of America. God bless America.
And then Cooley's Anemia, Gift of Life. Then Officer's Oath came out. And Officer's Oath, and there's a story behind that. I'm going to tell it in 30 seconds. Linda Sent Ferry, story about the shoeshine man on a Staten Island ferry, or any ferry, to a Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Terry Lakin, who was in prison for asking the White House a question, and he didn't get satisfaction. See, when you're an officer, you've got to get satisfaction. Mm. If you want to know why the utensils are not gold and they're silver, they've got to give you satisfaction. Well, he couldn't get satisfaction in the courts, and they found that he didn't go to a meeting in the 90s. They put him in prison, took away his rank, took away his pension, and he read Ferry when he came out. The people who were with him came to me and said, would you write his biography? So Jack Cashel and I, you know, teamed up, and I wrote one section of it, and he wrote a section of it. And that goes to, the proceeds from that book goes to Wounded Warriors. Now the new book. I'm trying to get Bill's attention.
Rapt attention, R-A-P-T. You have my attention, for sure.
The new book.
And I'm sure the listeners out there are amazed at the charity, the generosity of both my guests today.
Well, life is for giving, not for taking. The next book, and tonight's theme, the scarlet thread, has been what motivates you, what's your inspiration.
Correct.
There are just about 20 million Italians, in Italian Americans, Italian extraction in the United States. There may be a lot more. About one-fifth of that population is not Catholic. Had an interesting experience about a year and a half ago. A lady was talking, just generally speaking, and said, "Oh, those people, the Bible people, I don't really like them." Well, I said, "Do you know what they believe?" "No, but here's what I learned: because they weren't Catholic, they weren't Italian." Now that's a tough one. Some of you are listening right now, and you're bristling. That's okay. I'm an easy guy to bristle with. I've done a lot more wrong than say that. Most Italians will tell you, if you're Italian, you have to be Catholic. So what I did is I did a didactic study, and only my wife can tell you the thousands of hours of research in my new book, The Other Italians. Because of the historical implications, spiritual implications, cultural implications, religious implications, and biblical implications, I decided to study the people who are leaving the Roman Catholic Church these days. Now, people leave institutions for a lot of good reasons, a lot of bad reasons, but they're all personal reasons. And not only did I investigate the amount and why or how they're leaving, but I also went to look at what they're going to. So the other Italians are people who have left the institution and placed their faith only in the Bible. So we'll call them, for want of a better word, Bible-believing Christians. Not that Catholics don't believe the Bible, but they do.
Would you say that that is true for other faiths that leave some of the orthodox or traditional religions and find themselves strictly in the Bible?
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. In people know the word Reformation. When you think of the Reformation, you immediately think of Martin Luther and Erasmus. Both of them were born, baptized, confirmed, went through every solemn vow to become priest in the Catholic Church. Both Luther and Erasmus were reformers. All they wanted to do was take that 14th century Catholic Church back to the Bible. A lot of corruption had entered, and it enters every institutional religion.
Well, I look back in history and know that the church, the Catholic Church, with all its faults, and other denominations in the Protestant faith or Reformed churches, etc., sometimes we tend, as we do with stereotypes of ethnicity, to look at a lot of the negatives of people, but in not so much in defense of the Catholic Church, but I just want to point out that the Catholic Church has an incredible history and record of missions to serve, not necessarily to promulgate or proselytize, but to serve the poor and the...
Well, we would have no hospital system in New York City, in the metropolitan area, if it wasn't for the Catholics and the Jews.
That's right. And I want to take this time to give a shout-out to Carlo, who is Sabrina's dad, who's outside the studio, because today is a special day. It's November 4th, and it's St. Charles Borromeo Day. It's the actual feast day of St. Charles Borromeo, whose son Carlo, in Italy. And Charles Borromeo, St. Charles Borromeo, was a Count the Reformer, of the Catholic Church, who tried to address the issues that were brought up by Martin Luther and others in the Reformation movement. And he tried and ultimately became a saint to redirect and bring the church.
That's the word, Bill. Just needed redirection. Yeah.
And what I found out in preparing for the show was that San Carlo lived in Arona, which is on Lago Maggiore, in northern lake in Italy, where my uncle, Salvatore Izzo, lives,
my mother's brother.
The connections, the roots are wonderful. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, go on, David.
So what it is, it's a didactic study that compares and contrasts the people in the Roman Catholic Church, which is an institutional church, and those who have left that institution and adhere only to the biblical principles and biblical precepts. I learned an enormous amount about both institutions, because my wife will tell you, and I repeat it, I was up at 8 o'clock. I would go downstairs with my PJs on, and I would sit till 8 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night, just studying. I read the Catholic Canon, thousands of pages of the Catholic Canon, to see what the Counter-Reformation was. What happened is, though, most of Northern Europe was lost to the Church, but not Southern. So when the Italians wound up coming to America, throughout America, look at the magnificent cathedrals that have been built, the hospitals that have been built. So the fertile ground here was fertile for Rome. Unfortunately, we're closing too many buildings these days because of so many problems that are happening with economics. But it is a book. I had one person tell me, I'm Catholic, I didn't know all the stuff that was in the book. So it is a book that will share with both, not sides of the coin, because they're both in the Christian community. They both acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior. But it looks at some of the things, like one of the chapters is called Crucifix, Empty Cross. Why do Catholics have a crucifix, and why do Bible-believing Christians have an empty cross? And there's very good history behind it. It's very logical, it's sequential, very church-oriented, very institutional-oriented. I go into transubstantiation. I did a survey of 100 adults and 100 young people and asked them, and this is a tough question. In fact, I asked it in front of a very devout Catholic friend of mine. Do you really believe that when you go to church, that when you drink that in the cup, it's really the blood, you know, whatever miracle? No. I said, well, then you're not Catholic. Yes, I am. No, maybe I'm not. And they, you know, I think what's happened is we need more books like mine to help people to understand. And it's not to proselytize. It just shows you what you believe. I've gone to some of the Bible-believing Christians that I know, and they looked at it and said, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Well, I don't know why I did that. I only did it because, guess what? We had another institution.
Well, I think that one of the best things, or the best persons to come along for the Catholic Church, has been the current Pope Francis, because he's a Franciscan, and my mother's other brother, his given name was Espedito, he was known as Father Timoteo. He was a Franciscan monk, and I went to visit him in Italy, and he basically lived, worked, preached among the poor, among the farmers and townspeople, and it was all about service. It was all about contact with people. It wasn't about buildings or places, although the Franciscans are...
We're out of money building. The cathedrals won't be built anymore.
But, and I think Pope Francis pretty much touches upon that, about the interaction with people, and about, it's about service.
If you want,
it's about what you do. Yeah. It's about what Sabrina does. It's about reaching people and not so much rituals.
If you are what you say you are, and you really are touched by the words of the church, words of the printed page of the Bible, if you're really touched, then the natural outcome should be service. And we've seen the nuns, the martyrs, the Franciscans, the Jesuits, who have dedicated their lives totally to the study of the Word. And it's not, the Bible is not foreign to Catholics. There was a period of time in history where they were forbidden to read it. But those days are over. You can buy a book in Family Dollar, and the priest will not come down and say to you, you shouldn't be reading that. We have a Douay version. We have a New American Standard version. And by the way, the Bible scriptures that I use to talk about both the Catholic Church and is the New American Standard version, which is accepted by the Catholic Church.
Your book has been praised by many. A lot of good reviews came in, including the Italian Tribune. I have a wonderful newspaper, ItalianTribune.com. They come out in print. They also have a website, ItalianTribune.com. What's the takeaway? Is it okay to be Catholic? Is it okay to be Protestant?
The takeaway is, number one, you're going to learn a lot about your faith, number one. Two, we know that the Catholic Church does not ban the Bible. And Father Guastella is a friend of mine on the island, and I went to his church for a while, and he conducted the mass, and he would say to the people, "You're on the subway every morning. Why aren't some of you reading the Bible?" So it's not it is to encourage people to look at the biblical principles that support what they believe. I think I'll come away with that.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, Sabrina, are you taking it all in?
Yes, I am.
That's wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking with Sabrina Panfilo and Dr. David McCaldo on The Bill Russo Show. We thank you for listening to The Bill Russo Show. We're winding down now, and we're going to play one last song. I'd like to turn my attention to each of these fine guests and ask them if they have some words for the audience they want to share. Sabrina?
My children's books teach valuable lessons to children of all ages. And while my focus is on individuality, positive self-esteem, family ties, love and respect for oneself and others, I cannot teach anyone not to feel. Words can hurt and are just as powerful as a punch. I can, however, inspire children to be bully-free and proud to be. In doing so, I disclose to everyone who is listening that the battle undoubtedly stems from within. We tend to overlook what's been inside of us all along. We need to learn to love ourselves first, be proud of who we are and where we come from. And when we love ourselves and accept ourselves, then our children can love themselves and each other, truly accept themselves, gain an understanding of their self-worth, be kind, humble, and appreciate the unique differences we see in others. If we lead, they will follow.
And that book that book's available on Amazon.com. Her books.
Your book.
All books, yes.
Well, yeah, Sabrina Panfilo. SabrinaPanfilo.com. David?
You know, I'm delighted to be here, Bill, with you. You have opened up the microphone to every kind of person, bringing every kind of message. Thank you. My second visit, I hope there'll be many more.
There will be.
I want to say this to you. You're out there. You're listening to Sabrina. You're listening to me. We're not deserving of anything, but we're worthy of something. We're worthy of your support. When you see a young writer, a young singer, a young tenor, they've got a CD or a DVD in the back of the auditorium, you buy it. You support them. And the message is strong. We are a people. If this generation fails to make its mark and remind the growing generation that's coming now of their Italian heritage, we will be wiped out. The French are in danger of that right now. And I will tell you, probably within 20 years, there will not be a Frenchman, as you know. I hope there'll be Italians, and that's going to be based on your support of men like Bill. Listen to the show. Tell people about it. Get on it. Write him. Argue with him. Get mad at him. Send him an email. Let's find out who's listening to this and spread the good word. We are not the best people in the world, but we certainly are a very, very unusual and a very blessed people.
Thank you, David, for blessing all of us by being on the program, and thank you, Sabrina, for blessing us and being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
That's our studio audience. And now we're going to close the program with a special song. This is from 1968, Jackie DeShannon. She's still around, by the way. She's 73 years old, and she's still around. And the song is What the World Needs Now.
What the now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. Mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the
Today's entertainment has been brought to you in part by Galito's Restaurant. Galito's specializes in Portuguese cuisine. In addition to these delicacies, Galito's offers pasta, steaks, seafood, and chops. A full-service bar includes wines, beers, and spirits to complement your meal. Galitos offers casual ambiance at the bar or their dining room. Galitos also has a private banquet room for social events with a party package to accommodate your budget. Galitos also offers seasonal cafe seating. Galitos is located at 29 Elm Avenue in Mount Vernon, New York, conveniently located across from the Mount Vernon East train station. You can call Galitos at area code 914-668-0100. Once again, the number is area code 914-668-0100 for information or reservations, or go to the website at www.galitosrestaurant.com. Enjoy your dining experience. Voted number one jazz cabaret club by New York Magazine, the Metropolitan Room is one of the most critically acclaimed venues in New York City and is known as the home for big-name talents and rising stars. Known as a celebrity hangout, the Metropolitan Room is a high-end cabaret and jazz club and brings the best in live music to New York City every night of the week. Fabulous award-winning Broadway, TV, film, and radio performers take the stage in an intimate 115-seat elegant venue. Aside from the great highly professional artistic shows and audience, Metropolitan Room provides an exceptional appetizer and dessert menu as well as exotic and specialty drinks prepared by top New York City bartenders. The Metropolitan Room is located at 34 West 22nd Street, conveniently located near public transportation. For information or reservations, call area code 212-206-0440. Once again, the area code is 212-206-0440. Or go to their website at www.metropolitanroom.com.